We get reports weekly from the state of Alaska, and actually in Alaska we have not seen a big peak. We had an earlier peak in October, November timeframe, but we didn't see very many cases here in Petersburg. Usually you see a second peak sometime later. We're expecting one maybe in February or March. It's not really guaranteed that we're going to get a second peak, but we had a lot of people traveling over the holidays, and they tend to bring back souvenirs besides, you know, Mickey Mouse hats.
Right. Yeah. And what is the strain of flu that people are dealing with this year? Is it the usual or something different?
I know that the predominant strain they've been seeing has been influenza type A, and I think that my latest records were showing they've been 60,308 in the United States so far through the first week of January that have been positive for that strain.
There's also an influenza B circulating. It's usually not as prevalent early in the season, but sometimes you'll see that one kind of come out more in the early spring. What's different this year is the vaccine formulation is set. Last year is when they decide what strain they're going to expect to see, and it's kind of like a crapshoot, really. You hope that you catch everything that you're anticipating with the vaccine, and oftentimes it works, but every once in a while, a different strain kind of comes out and predominates the infections. So that's what we're seeing this year, which is unfortunate because if you've got your flu shot, your chance of protecting yourself against that particular strain isn't as good as it would be if it had been captured in the formulary. But the idea is that the hope is that if you did get the flu shot, you would still have some protection, especially from other variations of that of the flu that are circulating. But it also, even if you got the one flu bug that is circulating that has drifted, perhaps you wouldn't get as serious a case of it. So, you know, there is some protection. There's no hardcore fact about that or research, but we're hoping that that will give. So we're really encouraging people to get the flu shot if they haven't gotten it. It's still not too late.
Did you give out many this year, and has it slowed down recently?
It's definitely slowed down, but I would definitely encourage people to still get their flu shot because it is going to give you some protection. It's not going to give you the complete protection that and no year ever does, but we still recommend getting it. It's still available at both the medical center and at the public health center. We're waiting for more of the nasal flu to come in for the children because they found that that's actually more effective for the appropriate child to get that's 2 to 18 years of age. If you have a needle phobia, we can also do that up to the age of 49 for the nasal flu, as long as you don't have any contraindications for that.
And then besides the vaccine, there's a lot people can do to prevent flu spread and catching it, right?
So, good hand hygiene. Watch where your hands have been and where they're going to decide whether or not you need to wash your hands. If you're going to the grocery store and they have hand gel there, that's great. You can wipe down the cart so that if somebody else who handled the cart before you had any infection, that you don't get that. The virus can live on dry surfaces for quite a while, actually. So even though it looks like a plain, safe, innocuous surface, it very well could be infectious. So you don't want to, you know, contaminate it. So you don't want to touch those surfaces. Handling a phone in a public place, those kinds of things, you want to wash your hands or use hand gel afterwards. And the biggest thing is not to touch your T-zone. And that's probably the hardest thing for people to prevent from doing because it's an automatic response. Scratch your nose.
T-zone, what is that?
Yeah, the T-zone is your eyes, nose, and mouth. Okay. And if you rub your eye, and as we're talking, you and I are probably thinking, I need to scratch my nose, right? It's just one of those automatic things. But if you conscientiously think about touching your face before you touch it, you can prevent contaminating yourself with all kinds of things, not just influenza. So that's a hard thing because kids are always, you know, touching each other and touching their faces and sticking their fingers everywhere. And that's a very common way to transmit viruses and bacteria.
Of course, there's a lot of stuff going around in the community, not just flu. There's a lot of colds going through town and that kind of thing. But all those things work for the spread of any illness like that.
Yeah, definitely. Hand washing and avoiding touching any of your mucous membranes, your eyes, your nose, your mouth. That's going to be really key. Some of the other places that are really good to make sure you keep clean are going to be keyboards. So those are some of the dirtiest places. And then cell phones are going to be the other dirty places that you're going to find a lot of infection. And then I've been really proud to see a lot of kids in the community when they are coughing or sneezing, are coughing or sneezing into their elbow, which I see a lot of adults not do that, but I'm seeing the children start to do that. And so that's really exciting to see that change in behavior to help prevent the spread of infection too.